life is, at times, good, comfortable, rewarding. It's that feeling of being full. Things are going in the right direction. At other times, it's somewhat less than ideal. It's more like manageable or controllable, never more than satisfactory. The glass is half full or half empty, depending on how you look at it. Still, there are other times when life can be so dark, so brutal, so completely and totally empty that it seems that the glass has been drained entirely. We are dry and parched, existing in our emptiness, unsure of how to fill ourselves back up. Finally, we lose our hold on life and we fall. Our lives become broken and shattered, and we feel like nothing can put us back together. Yet, it is here in our brokenness, in our desperation, that we cry out to God. It is here, in our complete and hopeless emptiness, that we discover the fullness that only comes from Jesus Christ.
What an amazing thing to be filled with the Spirit of Jesus, not just once, but every time we run low. So thank you, Lord. What an amazing and wonderful God you are for sending your Holy Spirit to be our comforter, our friend, and our guide. Well, welcome everybody. You're probably wondering what I'm doing and where I am. Well, I'm in the middle of Barnard's Green. In the middle of the island, actually, and all around me is vehicles and cars, and I guess I want to make the point that the Holy Spirit's here in our everyday lives, not just in church or in the garden when the birds are singing, but where we are in our shopping and our working and our just ordinary everyday lives, His Spirit is with us. And this morning we're looking at The Promise of the Spirit, Part 2. And David Ritchie will be speaking a little later. But now let's just, for a few moments, remind ourselves of some of the promises that Jesus made about the coming of His Spirit.
I light this candle, and the reading will be John chapter 20, verse 22.
Jesus will and said, there are good.
John 16:13. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth.
Luke 24:20. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in Jerusalem until you are clothed with the power from on high.
If you love me and keep my commandments, I will pray to the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever.
And in case you're wondering why the camera's juddering, I do apologise, but I'm also not only in the middle of a roundabout, but I'm holding two dogs at the same time. So, there we go. So how does the Spirit work? How does the Spirit affect and change things? How does it work in action, so to speak? And not just in our lives, the lives of people upon whom the Spirit falls, but in the lives of people with whom we interact, that we affect. And I just want to show you now a video of some friends of ours, Ben and Katie. Many of you will know them. They're our mission partners in Tanzania. And the fact that they've given up an easy life in the UK to live and serve the really poor in Tanzania, not just those who are poor in resources, but those who also suffer from physical disability, bringing dignity into their lives, giving them employment, building houses for them indeed. And they're called by the Spirit. And I know that many in our church, many of you who will be watching this, have also sensed the Spirit in your lives. Not to call you to Tanzania, because the Spirit doesn't always call people, rarely calls people in fact, to go abroad. Calls us to impact the lives of people all around us. But just so we can be encouraged, I think, and uplifted, I want to show you a video. It's a day in the life of a young man called Athuman. And he's one of the employees at Nema Crafts. It shows him on his journey to Nema, and he narrates a little bit about his life story at the same time. And after that, that was a bus, by the way, not me. George, our great friend from Tanzania, the Reverend George Otieno, will be bringing a prayer to us.
Jina langu naitwa Asmani, ni mzaliwa tarehe 25 mwezi wa 4 mwaka 1994. Nilikuwa naishi na wazazi wangu. Nilipokuwa mdogo niliumwa sana. Muda mrefu mwili wangu ulikuwa hauna nguvu, mlaini wazazi wangu walipata shida sana, walinipeleka hospitali tofauti tofauti. Kwa hiyo baada hapo babangu alifariki dunia tarehe 26 mwezi wa 6 mwaka 1998. Baada hapo baba yangu alipofariki, kweli mama yangu alipata shida sana, familia tulipata shida sana. Baada hapo nilipomaliza form 4, kwa hiyo niliona ni muda mzuri kutumia komedi yangu. Kwa hiyo nilipata bahati kusafiri mbalimbali kutangaza makampuni, ila mama yangu hakufurahia kabisa, kwa sababu nilikuwa nasafiri na watu ambao hawajui. Kwa hiyo niliona, nilifikiria sana, sasa siwezi kukaa bila kazi. Kwa hiyo nilitafuta kazi na nimepata Demacraft, na Demacraft walinipokelea vizuri. Sasa kwa hiyo niko kwenye idara ya dukani. Kwa hiyo nimefurahi sana kuona bidhaa tofauti tofauti, ubunifu tofauti tofauti. Pia mimi natangaza kazi hii ya walemavu. Kwa hiyo nimefurahi sana kufanya kazi Demacraft kwa sababu na marafiki wengi. Pia nimepata faida na nyumba, napata mshahara vile vile, nimepata marafiki tofauti tofauti. Pia nimejua alama sign language. Kwa hiyo napenda sana kazi Demacraft.
Praise the Lord. We thank God for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And as long as the Holy Spirit is with us, let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for the fulfillment of your promise at the Ascension, that you will not leave us as orphans, but you will send your Holy Spirit to be with us. Thank you for this divine love and for its worldwide impact upon the life of the church. Thank you, Holy Spirit, the chief actor in the historic ministry of the church. Thank you for being our strength and for being our helper. Thank you. We praise you, Father, for your Holy Spirit, who came upon your sons and daughters as promised, in order to teach us and lead us into all the truth, so that we may proclaim your wonderful works. Holy Spirit, you are the only God who meets our needs in this needy part of the planet. Your words and your wonderful counselor who guides us and sustains us. For some of us, we can recall with fondness the times when the Holy Spirit alone took care of us and nothing else. In Tanzania, we continue to thank the Holy Spirit for the way he has led us, especially during the time of COVID-19. It is the only Spirit alone who looked after the country and took good care of us. So we can humbly once again pray and say, come Holy Spirit, and set our hearts on fire with the flame of your love and compassion. Come Holy Spirit, and provide us with the divine power and ultimate direction.
Today's reading is John chapter 14, verses 15 to 27. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
What does this mean? Year by year, we probably echo the questions of the crowd in Jerusalem that first Pentecost Sunday. The sound like the sound of a violent wind, the sight of divided tongues as of fire, the event of speaking in other languages. What does this mean? So today we're going to do things a bit differently. We're going to backtrack through Pentecost, through Easter, through Good Friday even, to the evening of Maundy Thursday, the night of Jesus' arrest. For it is at this moment that Jesus, according to John's account in his Gospel, teaches us what is going to happen to him, to them, and to us. At this moment, the night of Jesus' arrest, don't forget, those earliest followers were bewildered. No more than that, they're numbed with an impending sense of tragedy. Jesus says to them, Don't let your hearts be troubled. But they can't help it. I'm going to prepare a place for you, he says. And they respond, Lord, we don't know where you're going. What's happening? And Jesus uses a very powerful word. He says, I will not leave you orphaned. I will not leave you orphaned. That, as we know, is when a child is bereft of their parents. But in those days, it was also used of students who lost a great teacher and were bereft of the presence of someone who they looked up to. Plato says that when Socrates died, his disciples thought they would have to spend the rest of their lives forlorn, as children bereft of their parents. They didn't know what to do. They would be utterly lost. But Jesus told his disciples that would not be the case with them. I'm coming back, he says. Most immediately, of course, he came back with the resurrection, where we are reminded for 40 days he presented himself to them by means of many proofs, appearing to them and speaking to them about the kingdom of God. I love that. And I'd love to know a bit more what happened during those 40 days. Anyhow, that was short term. For during his earthly ministry, he could only be with one person or a group of people at a time. He could only be, as it were, with one lot of people. But that was the short term. What about the long term? How would he come back? He says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. Who is this strange person, this advocate, this helper? Jesus says, this is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he'll be with you. Now listen carefully. I will not leave you orphaned. I'm coming back to you. You could say from this passage that the Holy Spirit is simply Jesus in another form. When Jesus was here on earth in human form, he could only be with a few people at a time. But by his Spirit now, he's able to be in them. That's what he says. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. In human form, Jesus could only be with his disciples for a short while. But as the Holy Spirit, he can be with all his followers for all time. This is a tremendous truth. Jesus isn't going away at all from this passage. In a very real sense, he's still going to be around. He'll remain our companion. He offers us here something much better than memories. He offers us the indwelling presence of his Holy Spirit. But how did the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, work in the lives of those earliest disciples? How does he work in our lives today? In what guise, in what role does he come? First of all, I'm going to use four pictures that John paints in this chapter. First of all, he comes as advocate. He will give you another advocate. Advocate. The Greek word is parakletos. Someone who is called alongside to help us. And it was commonly used in a legal context. If you were brought to trial, your parakletos would be your lawyer, or a witness for your defense, or simply a friend who'd come to give you moral support while you were in court. Yet it's not limited to a legal sphere. That's why our Bibles correctly have a footnote with another translation. Helper. And I've looked up other translations as well, and the different words, comforter, counselor, someone who stands beside you, parakletos. In the end, it's impossible to sum it up in one word. Some years ago, the Bible Society was working on a translation of John's Gospel in the Carrie language, which is spoken in Equatorial Africa. They'd reached this precise passage, and we're looking for the local word to describe the word parakletos, comforter, helper, or the like. And to their surprise and delight, they found the perfect equivalent. In the local culture, if one of a line of porters became exhausted from carrying his heavy load, and another bends down to help him, he is known in Carrie as the parakletos, the one who falls down beside us. The one who falls down beside us. Isn't that amazing? The significance of Pentecost for God's people is ever fresh. We need to remind ourselves day in, day out, that we're not left to struggle in the Christian life by ourselves. But Jesus comes as our advocate, our helper, the one who falls down beside us. Then the Holy Spirit of Jesus comes to us as a friend. He says, those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and will come to them and make our home with them. This is powerful imagery, isn't it? Jesus says here, those who show their love for God by living as he wants them to will experience his friendship, as God by his Spirit comes to set up home with them. Those who love me. It's a question Jesus asks all of us as his followers. Actually, he's not all that interested in how many years we've worshipped in this church, nor is he particularly interested in how extensive our knowledge of the Bible is, nor does he really care about how generous we've been in sharing our time, our abilities, our money. Now he simply asks, do you love me? Do you love me? That's what he asked the first leader of the Christian church, Simon Peter. We marvel at Simon Peter's bold preaching on the day of Pentecost. Men of Judea, all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Could this be the same man who only a few weeks beforehand was terrified out of his wits when asked if he was a disciple of Jesus Christ? True, much had happened in the intervening period, but the crucial point had been the gentle questioning of Jesus to his ashamed and humiliated follower. He doesn't ask him, "Are you truly my follower? Are you prepared to carry out my plans? Have you sufficient faith? Can I trust you that you won't fail me again?" No, he simply asks, "Do you love me?" As for Simon Peter, so for every follower from that day to this, including each one of us here in church today, if Jesus is number one in our lives, then my Father will love them and will come to them and make our home with them. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit as teacher. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I've said to you. This was first of all a promise to those early disciples. The Spirit will aid their memory. The sayings of Jesus were so precious, and their memories would need jogging to recall them. What they taught by lip or pen would be a reliable expression of Jesus' own teaching. The Holy Spirit will teach you and remind you of all I've said to you. And you know, that's why after the day of Pentecost, we never hear those early Christians lamenting the physical absence of Jesus. We never hear them saying, "If only Jesus were here, he'd tell us what to do." They never said that. Why? Because he was there by his Spirit teaching them, reminding them. But there's a general sense in which this verse is true for all Christians. Without the Holy Spirit, the Bible is a closed book. I don't know why I've done it, but I've kept all my old school reports. And they were appalling, actually. They were absolutely appalling. No teacher would dare to write the sort of comments nowadays. But normally I wasn't all that bright. I came bottom of the class several years running. But there was one year where I was kept back a year, and I did rather better than usual. With one exception, I came bottom in scripture. The headmaster's comment at the end of the report, still there to read if you want to see it, he said, "A good term on the whole, but a pity about his ignorance of the Bible." And I've been trying the last 50 years to make up for it. In fact, I wish he was still around so I could talk to him about it. But without the Spirit's help, the Bible is a closed book, isn't it? We have no desire to read it, and we really can't see any relevance for it in our lives. This is one of my most treasured possessions. There's not much to it. Simply a paperback. It costs 3 and 6p. And it is The Gospels in Modern English by J.B. Phillips. And this was the very first book I possessed when I became a Christian. And for the first 3 months after I became a Christian, I didn't join a church. Didn't even know there was a church, really. I didn't know I was meant to join it. I just read the Gospels again and again from this book. And in a way I couldn't explain, they came to life. The words of Jesus rang true, giving purpose and a new direction. Was this the work of the Holy Spirit teaching me? As a verse from my favourite hymn, "Lord for the Years," reminds us, "Lord, for that word, the word of life which fires us, speaks to our hearts, sets our souls ablaze, teaches and trains, rebukes us and inspires us. Lord, for that word, receive your people's praise." how much day by day you and I need to immerse ourselves in the scriptures. Otherwise, we're missing out on one of the greatest blessings of Pentecost, as the Holy Spirit teaches us and reminds us and guides us how to live for Christ in a confusing, apathetic, and sometimes hostile world. So in this season of Pentecost, we think of the Holy Spirit as the helper, one who falls down beside us, as the friend who sets up his home with us, as the teacher who opens the scriptures, and finally, as the peace giver, the one who brings peace. Peace I leave with you, Jesus said. My peace I give to you. I don't give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Peace is shalom, the traditional Jewish greeting. And somebody put it like this. Peace doesn't mean the opportunity to relax and to put your feet up, but the strength to keep up your head above the waters in a stormy sea. It combines the ideas of inner calm, of well-being, of harmony. It's not a peace which is liable to be shattered at any moment. It's a deep-seated calm which persists in despite of disappointment, danger, or sorrow. Think of the stressful areas of our lives that are common to many of us. A new job, a family row, a difficult apology, facing exams, moving home, the nightmare of the pandemic over this past year, when lives have been turned upside down, illness, bereavement. And the list goes on. There is so much in life, isn't there, that can come, then can cause anxiety and worry. However, as Christians, we are promised a deep sense of peace. Peace I leave with you. A legacy that Jesus leaves to all his followers. My peace I give to you. A treasure he gives. And therefore, do not let your hearts be troubled. One person put it memorably. The world may give outward pleasure, physical rest and enjoyment, honor, wealth, but never that inner assurance, which is the reflection of the smile of God in the heart of his child. We end where we began. What does this mean? We've talked about the theory this morning, but how does it work? What difference does it make? What evidence is there that God the Holy Spirit is active in your life and mine? I want to end with a testimony of George Carey, not when he was Archbishop of Canterbury, or Bishop of Bath and Wells, or Principal of Trinity Theological College, but when he was vicar of an ordinary, well, no church is ordinary, but a straightforward church up in Durham. He'd been facing a lot of opposition from all different quarters as the church moved forward. And not surprisingly, he was experiencing a very dry time himself. And this is what he said. The sheer poverty of my life contrasted with the quality of New Testament Christianity, and it forced me at long last to face up to my crisis. I found myself on my knees saying, Lord, you know the mess I'm in right now, and yet I owe you so much. I thank you that I met you. You met me when I was a lad of 17. And I thank you that you called me into Christian ministry and empowered me in your service. But Lord, I've become so busy in your service that I've lost you. I've been so self-centered and interested in doing what I want that I have forced you out of my life. I can't live this hypocritical life any longer. Unless you fill me afresh with your spirit, I cannot go on. And he went on. He said, such was my prayer. Nothing dramatic happened. No thunderclaps, no Pentecostal wind or fire. Yet God spoke to me in a still, small voice. In the calmness of that moment, Christ came again into my longing life and claimed me as his own. And he concludes by asking, what difference did it make? What difference did it make? And these are the answers that he came up with. It restored to me a great love of Christ. Do you love me? A deep desire to read the scriptures. A longing to share the Christian faith with others, and a desire to praise God. And as we finish, may I suggest that we reflect on that. Are we filled with God's Spirit? Is God the Holy Spirit allowed to work in our lives? Do we have a real love for Christ? A deep desire to read the scriptures above all else? A longing to share the Christian faith with others, and a concern, a desire to praise God. Let's be still for a moment and reflect again on this passage. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Break us, melt us, mold us, fill us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us.
Good morning. I have divided our prayers into sections this morning, and I hope that when you hear the words in the midst of this, you will join in with me saying, "We will not be afraid." Dear Lord, in recent times we have suffered so much disease and death with the ongoing pandemic and the new variants. We pray for everyone who has been affected in any way and those involved in the control, management and prevention of COVID, particularly at this time thinking about India. We pray for the success of the vaccination rollout and that you will bring healing and relief to this crisis situation. However, in the midst of this, we will not be afraid. Father, we also pray for our hearts and minds as we live in a world full of pain and anxiety. We are stressed, worried, and our responsibilities can feel overwhelming. There are many who are depressed, isolated, lonely, and some who can see no purpose to life. We lift them to you as your cherished and beloved children. May each one of us find your peace in the midst of this. We will not be afraid. Please, God, share your love and kindness with a troubled world which perpetrates unkind, harmful and abusive behaviours. So much of the news is about sexual abuse, exploitation and harassment. We hear about the cancel culture, which marginalises people who express unpopular views. Yet you, Lord, encourage us to love and protect those in need. So, Father, please teach us your ways, which are so different from that of the world, as in the midst of this, we will not be afraid. Lord, we live in a world full of disasters, conflict and challenges. We pray for those in the Republic of Congo. the children that are missing following the recent volcano and homes that have been lost. We also pray for Israel and those caught up in the struggles there, and thank you, Lord, for the recent ceasefire. We pray for the financial situation in Lebanon, where huge numbers of people are facing acute poverty. Around the world, Father, we seek your comfort, reconciliation, and know that in the midst of this, we will not be afraid. Finally, dear Lord, we have not been careful guardians of your beautiful world and its resources. We have lost many species of animals, depleted the fossil fuels, caused deforestation, landfill, global warming and climate change. Guide us, Lord, to make our world a better place and encourage us to believe that we can make changes. In the midst of this, Lord, we will not be afraid. Let us now say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. Thank you.
And now to close our service, as we go about our daily lives in this coming week, let's reflect on the words of the 11th century Meschild of Magdeburg in the book The Flowing Light of the Godhead. Lie down in the fire. See and taste the flowing Godhead through your being. Feel the Holy Spirit moving and compelling you within the flowing fire and light of God. And as I say goodbye from Barnard's Green, quite a busy one as you've probably gathered, I just pray God's blessing and God's Spirit would fall upon Barnard's Green and the areas where you live and where you shop and where you work. So God bless.